In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Amen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
¿A dónde fueron? Where is everybody? You'd think that the rapture happened or something like that. No, I'm just kidding. We don't believe in the rapture. That's Protestant stuff. That's not true. It's not in the scriptures. Yeah. Of course, there wouldn't be a rapture. Jesus doesn't talk about one. Yeah, okay. So where is everybody? Where is everybody? Here we are on Easter Sunday, take 8. People aren't here. This is the day of divine mercy. And so it's important for us to know that today is a day when our Lord opens up his heart. We see that in the scriptures and everywhere else. We see it everywhere, and especially here in this beautiful image that we have here. It tells us what we need to pray about. To pray for real conversion in our community. Real conversion here within our parish. That people will really begin to love Jesus. Not just when they want to. But to love him as he is. And to realize what a great grace they can receive here coming at Mass that nowhere else can it be received. We don't want them to remain in the mortal sins that they will be missing Mass. We want them to come to Jesus' love. He is full of mercy and compassion. And that's why today the church is proclaimed, this is a day of God's divine mercy. We have this beautiful opportunity today for each of you who are here. You have this great grace of being able to receive an indulgence for the Divine Mercy Sunday. What do you got to do? All you got to do is meditate upon God's divine mercy. Here, pray the chaplet of divine mercy. You meditate upon that image. That's the first thing. The second thing, that's the actual act of it. The other thing is you got to receive Holy Communion on the day. God willing, you're prepared to receive Holy Communion today. Then you got to go to confession. You got to go to confession. We've had confession all weekend long. We've had it all morning long. And we will have it all afternoon and day long. Immediately after this Mass, I'm going to be in that confessional, hearing confessions of all who wish to go and confess before I go off to my next meeting that's there. And any time after that, you look in the bulletin, you send me a text message, we'll go to confession whenever, wherever. God's mercy is so close to us today. Don't miss out on receiving that indulgence that can be applied for yourself or for a soul in purgatory who needs it. This Friday, we have First Friday. First Friday, Mass at 7 a.m. Sacred Heart Kids Club is going to meet together right after that Mass. And since you guys don't have school, we're just going to play and hang out until 10 o'clock, Sister said. If you want to go and see if you can beat Sister Anne in Chinese checkers, be my guest. That's a good thing. If you just want to pick me up and to feel good, challenge Father, because I'm terrible at it. But we'll play as long as we can. We have benediction, we have adoration all day long immediately after the Mass, but we're asking for souls to come and to sign up for those hours. We've had the same people who've been doing it for a decade plus, the same souls who are there, and their numbers and are thinning in number. Well, I know that they're not the only ones who love Jesus in the Eucharist. You do too. So we're asking you to find that generosity of your own soul, a moment, an hour where you can break free from your day on a Friday, a first Friday, to go sign up. If you want to put your name down, you can put your name down. If you want to put your number too, that's fine. If you don't want to give that information out, just put your name or a nickname that you can go by. I've got some real good sleuths that work for us in the parish. We'll find out what your number is. We'll find out what that nickname refers to, and we'll go find you. Don't put it past any of our guys. Deacon Marvin is really, really smart. Really, really smart. He knows how to decipher all sorts of codes. He's a code breaker. He could have been the Enigma machine if he was old enough to live that long. Also, for those of you, we had that Eucharistic Miracles exhibition was here. We had the miracle books. We've had to put out 3 orders already, and we're going to put out another one. We've given out 50 or 60 of those books of the miracles. If you want one, we're going to put out another order again. Still another order for them. You just got to call the office or let us know. We'll sign you up for one of them. They're only $25, and that's the same price that we get them from the publisher. But guess what? You'd have to pay shipping if you got them. For some reason, they give us a discount. I don't know. I don't ask questions. When people give me free, I know it's for me. Okay, so go ahead and sign up if you want those. We'll put that order out on Friday for more of those books of the miracles. Also, look out there and you'll see the image of the statue of St. Rose of Lima. Beautiful image, isn't it? Some people were asking me, like I talked before, oh no, somebody's stolen our image. Somebody's stolen St. Rose. Did they destroy her father again? No, they didn't. Runner took her up to his workshop and began working on her. And finally, we have her back now. Isn't she beautiful? He did such a beautiful job. You'd think that statue was a brand new statue made out of porcelain. All he did was add his artistry and paint. And look what he did with it. When you see him, thank him for that. It's very beautiful. I've got so many comments from people already, and it's only been up for a few days at this point. And I ask you in a special way to pray for our first communicants. 13 of them received First Holy Communion yesterday. I'm sad to say that only 4 of them have come to Mass since. So that means the rest of their parents are keeping them from Jesus. And you know what Jesus says about those who keep his little children from coming to him? He says it's better for a millstone to be tied around their neck and for them to be cast into the sea, for them to cause one of these little ones to sin. That's exactly what causing them to miss Mass on Sundays is doing. Pray for their parents. I know it's not the kids' fault. They want to be here. Pray for the parents. Beseech the parents to bring them back to Mass. In fact, these two young men right here, Tristan and Xander, this is their second time coming to Mass today. And they said before Mass that they were going to offer their third Holy Communion for all their classmates and for their parents who won't bring them to Mass. What a beautiful thing. Very proud of you. We're going to have Mass at the facility this weekend. The prisoners are going to have Mass, our young men and women, or young men who are there, rather. We're going to have Mass there this Friday. Or sorry, there this Monday. This Monday. Don't say Friday. Men, it's not Friday. It's Monday. We're going to have it on Monday at 1 o'clock. So be there early so we can start and begin with confessions. You too can receive the Divine Mercy Indulgence too. There's a special indulgence for prisoners in that. Let's enter into the homily. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is truly risen. You're so much better than all the other masses. You know, there was a Friday. It was rather, don't know what day of the week it was. It was a hot afternoon in July. And a young woman by the name of Maria Goretti, a 12-year-old Italian girl, was sitting on her porch, taking care of the task that she had to do. Maria was there, but something about Maria, she didn't have a father. Her father, he was an Italian tenant farmer, but he had died of malaria a number of years earlier, leaving Maria and her 6 children to be taken care of by their mother. And to be able to eke out a living, with everyone had to be involved in work and in labor. And so what they do, they ended up having to move in with their next door neighbors to be able to make sure those 2 incomes could support a single household. And so Maria was there. She, because of this, she didn't have an opportunity to go to school. She never learned to read. She never learned to write. She had this beautiful, though, simple faith, simple love for Jesus. That's all that there was. And people would come by and see her as she'd go through the town singing the songs that she learned in catechism or at Mass and just smiling so beautifully, beaming. They knew that when they were in the presence of this young girl, Maria Goretti, they knew that they were moved to love God more themselves because her simple faith was infectious. That day, on that hot July afternoon, in the middle of July, she was there sitting upon the steps of her home, reading and also mending a shirt so that she could be able to provide some sustenance for her family. And as she was mending that shirt there, a cart pulled up to the house and stopped right in front. And out leapt an 18-year-old boy, Alessandro, who she knew well, who she was sharing the house with. He was her next-door neighbor who was there. And what he did was he bounded up the stairs and he grabbed a hold of Maria's arm and drug her up those stairs to the room, shut the door behind them, and took her into the back bedroom that was there, positioning himself between her and the door as he slammed it shut. Maria struggled against this 18-year-old boy as the little 12-year-old girl that she was, and she began to scream. She said, "No, Alessandro. Alessandro, God does not wish it. È peccato mortale. It's a mortal sin. You'll go to hell for it. No, Alessandro. È peccato mortale. It's a mortal sin." And as she pled in that moment, Alessandro, because young Maria would not give in to his lustful desires, and by the way, this is the 3rd time he attempted this, he pulled out from his pants a long dagger and began to stab her 14 times in his rage because she would not give in to his lustful desires. Maria was mortally wounded from these blows, and Alessandro fled the scene in horror, seeking to get away from his crime. The people heard Maria's cries and shrieks from the house, and so they chased in after her, immediately rushing her to the hospital. But the doctors couldn't do anything. 14 stab wounds, it was hopeless. And so they sent her home there to die. When Maria was there, the priest, her local parish priest who loved her, heard of this incident and knew what happened, so he took all of his things and immediately ran out to go find her house, which wasn't far from the church. And there, when he met her in that house, he was afraid for her. And so he pled with her. He shook her, held her hand, and said, Maria, Maria, you know that you're loved by God. You know that you are so close to him at this moment. I do not wish you to go here to your death. You will die soon. Don't die with unforgiveness on your soul. Alessandro did something which is wicked and evil, but do not hate him. Forgive him and be received in the hands of your Lord. He wishes to receive you now. Maria, throughout her pain, winced and turned to him, but at that time shot a beautiful look toward her priest. She said, Father, no, Father, you don't understand. Father, I immediately forgave him. I want Alessandro to go to heaven. I don't hold this against him. I'm offering the suffering that I'm enduring now, even though it's at his hand, for his soul. Because I know that I'm not the one who's in danger of death today, but he is from his sin. I'm praying for him. This young girl, 12 years old, cared not for the integrity of her body, but rather for the soul of her assailant. Alessandro, well, after this, Maria devoutly received confession. She received her final Holy Communion, and then she was given as well the final anointing to commend her soul to God. A few days later, after suffering still more, she expired and breathed her last. Young Alessandro, this 18-year-old would-be rapist and now murderer, was sentenced to 30 years in prison for his crime. He had spent many years before this addicted to pornography that led him to take these acts that were there. And for many years after being in prison, Alessandro was totally unrepentant. He was filled with rage, and even the most fierce criminals cowered in his presence because he was so vicious. That was until one miraculous night. One miraculous night, Alessandro was there laying on his prison cell, stretched out upon his bed. And suddenly, whether by a vision or whether he was actually taken to that place, we know not, he found himself in a beautiful garden, surrounded by the most beautiful white roses he had ever seen, white petals that were all around. And there before him was none other than Maria, young Maria Goretti. And looking at him, she turned around and began gathering all these beautiful flowers and arranging them into a beautiful bouquet before. Then she turned toward Alessandro, approached him, and handed him this gift of flowers. This miraculous sign of mercy, it took Alessandro's hardened heart, perverted by lust and pornography that he had given himself to, and broke that hardened heart and made it pure again. Just like Alessandro, the disciples today receive a miraculous sign of mercy that is going to change their lives forever. What's going on there? Although they didn't find themselves locked up in a prison cell as Alessandro was, they were hiding behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jews and what they would do to him, just like they did to the Lord. What they're doing in that upper room is they're crouching in fear, in their prison of fear. And what happens is that Jesus passes into their presence through these walls, through these locked doors, as though they didn't even exist at all. Just imagine that. Think of how that would feel to see somebody passing. Under any normal circumstance, somebody passing through walls like that would be startling, to say the least. But it's even more startling because it was Jesus with these men. They have good reason to be startled. Why? Because it was just 2 days earlier on Friday, now it is Sunday, that they abandoned the Lord in the garden. They refused to take up their cross and follow him. At that moment when their Lord was sweating blood, they slept. At the moment when their king was betrayed by a kiss, they fled. At that time when their friend hung upon the cross all alone and ridiculed, they were nowhere to be found. Yes, they didn't kill Jesus like Alessandro killed Maria, but they did abandon Jesus to his death. And suddenly, in that instant, Jesus comes, passes through those walls, those locked doors, and stands in their midst. In the same way like Maria did, Jesus breaks their silence of fear by showing them a sign of his mercy. He doesn't give them a bouquet of white, beautiful flowers like Maria did. Jesus gives them an even more clear sign of his mercy. What does he do? He shows them his scars, the scars which he will bear for all eternity. He shows them his hands and his feet. He shows them his wounded side. He shows them his head, which has been pierced by the crown of thorns. He shows the shoulder, which has been worn to the bone by the cross. He shows them his lacerated back, which was turned into hamburger meat by the cat of nine tails, the whip. See, in that moment, Jesus doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't say much at all. His wounds say everything. His wounds say, I suffered these for you, for love of you. And I gladly give my hands and my feet to those nails. I gladly gave my side to be pierced through by the lance. Out of love for you, I bowed my head to accept the ignominy of the crown of thorns upon my brow. It's out of love for you that I bore the wood of the cross upon my shoulder and it wore it down to the bone. To show you mercy, I gave my back to the viciousness of that whip. I did this all so that you would know how much it is that I love you, so that you could know just how deep it is that my mercy goes for you. But what does Jesus do for us? Jesus, what he does is he enters into the prison of fear that we live in. He stands within the cell of our shame. Jesus offers us peace, the peace that only the divine mercy can give to us. Peace that the world cannot even begin to understand. This great sign of mercy, what it does is it gives faith to doubting Thomas. This is a great sign of mercy that's reflected in the white petals that Maria gave to Alessandro. But right after all of this, Jesus gave the disciples the greatest sign of his mercy. Jesus gives them the gift that's not meant just for them, but really, it's meant even more for us 2,000 years later. What's that? The sign of confession. The sign of confession. What does Jesus say? He says, peace be to you. And after that, he says, receive the Holy Spirit as he breathes upon them. And he says to his future priests, he says, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven you. And whoever sins you hold retained, they are retained. It's through this great sacrament that Jesus offers us his peace. That Jesus, through this very same peace he gave to them in the upper room, he gives it to us. This is the peace that comes from having the certitude, having the 100% guarantee that whatever it is that we confess within the sacrament of confession, it is 100% wiped away, can never be held against us. And as St. Faustina says, God forgets our sins. He can't even remember them. So radical is the mercy that God wants to give and to bestow upon us through this great sacrament of his love to say, you are forgiven. But as much as we might want to today, we cannot touch his nail wounds. We cannot thrust our hand into his sacred side, but we can hear him speak just as surely as he did those days 2,000 years ago. We can hear him speak through his priests. Ego te absolvo ab omni peccati. I absolve you of all your sins. Go in peace. Your sins, they are forgiven you. These are the words that Alessandro heard and gave him new life. These are the words that give us this day new life. And no matter what mortal sin we may have committed that separates us from the love of God, God wants to bring his life back into us with those very same words. Today, your sins may not be as big. They may seem quite small in comparison to Alessandro's because you say, well, I've never murdered anybody, or I've never committed a sexual assault in my life. But when we do a careful examination of our conscience, it'll show that we do gravely offend the divine mercy of God and his infinite love for us. We stumble so easily into the sins of pride, so easily into sins of lust. We miss Mass, and we don't think anything about it. We watch something that's inappropriate, that comes up onto our screens, and we say, that's fine, totally, but all those things are mortal sins. We spread this tiny gossip here and there. It doesn't matter. It just came off my tongue. Or we cheat in a silly game. That doesn't matter. But these venial sins do wound the love of God, his divine mercy. And if we listen, if we don't stop our ears, if we open ourselves to be silent enough to listen, we can hear Maria's voice call out even in the midst of our time of temptation. She says, no, the Lord does not wish it. E peccato mortale. It's a mortal sin. Don't do it. You'll go to hell for it. No. God does not want that for you. It's a mortal sin. Just as Jesus sent Maria to Alessandro with that merciful bouquet of beautiful white pure flowers to change his life forever, so Jesus sends the same gift of his mercy to us through his priests in the confessional. Know this. A priest can never in his entire life refuse a single soul the opportunity to go to confession, no matter what is going on in his life. When somebody asks for confession, a priest is bound. He has to hear that confession, time permitting. It's the greatest grace for a priest to see a soul that is bound and lost in darkness and to be set free by the love of God. That is the reason why the priest exists, to set souls free, to bring them back to God. You see, in our parish, confession is offered so frequently. We have it on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Friday, on Saturday, and on Sunday. Every time, those 30 minutes before the Mass at least. You have confession offered all the time. And many of you did go to Lent. In fact, I'm so proud of you that this is, I know, the time in this whole parish history where confession has been most frequented. But why stop there? Let's do it again. Confess frequently. Let your sins be put away. There was a young man who came to me before Mass yesterday, before making his first Holy Communion, and he said, "Father, I just want to be as pure as possible. Let me go to confession, please, before Mass." He was surprised to hear after the confession when I told him, "Look, you don't have to make so great distances of time between your confessions. As your priest, I go to confession every week, even though it costs me 4 hours round trip to be able to do it." Put it in your calendars. Make it a reoccurring appointment. Set it for one time to go off so that you make sure to go at her. Set it for a second time to go twice a month. Or as often as you find yourself fallen into mortal sin, God is always ready to shed his mercy down upon us so that we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt we're totally forgiven. And God puts our sin as far as east is from west from us. That's the power of confession. You know when Alessandro was released from prison, do you know what the first thing he did was? As soon as he got out of prison, he made a great effort to discover, to find out where Maria's mother was. And when he found where she was, he came to her door and fell down upon his knees before her, begged her for forgiveness. Maria's mother learned something from Maria. And she said to him, "Alessandro, I forgave you a long time ago and have prayed ever since for your conversion. You took my daughter, but I call you today my son." When you go to her house, the place where Maria was slain, I've been there many times. When you go there, you'll see a picture upon the wall of Alessandro with Maria's mother right next to her. They are there before the Pope in the Vatican, receiving Holy Communion side by side together on Christmas morning. That's the power of divine mercy. That's a power of God's mercy springing forth in a soul. Alessandro, after he converted, he went and joined the Franciscan friars, made himself a monk to live his life according to the rule of St. Francis in poverty. He had many tasks that he was tasked with in the monastery, being just a very lowly monk. But he spent most of his time in the garden, taking care of the flowers, getting his hands dirty, and making sure that this part in the center of the monastery was as beautiful as possible. The reason he was so overjoyed to spend time there doing these menial tasks is because he remembered that it was in a garden that he received a gift of God's divine mercy. Because it was in a garden that he watered and nourished this gift by his own life of penance. And so our Lord offers us today the opportunity to enter into a garden. A garden where his love and his mercy is poured out for us. The very center of that garden for us lies the confessional, where God wishes to impart upon us his greatest gift of love, to restore us back to himself, because there's no sin that's too big for his divine mercy to touch, no sin which is too great for him to bring forgiveness and reconciliation. He calls us to seek his divine mercy, and the one who seeks it will indeed find it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.